I get to talk to you today about obedience. And when the Lord first started putting this into my heart, I go, do I have to talk about that? Yes, you have to be obedient. Pardon the pun. But I tell you, God begins to open up so many things with obedience and just the thought of it and the nature of it and where the beginning of it was and where the struggles that sometimes so many of us have, myself included, to this day. A couple months ago, I did a teaching on integrity. And then we followed up with a teaching on ethics. And so I think the right extension is to talk about obedience. Integrity is simply the willingness to do what's right. Ethics is just following right conduct. And obedience is being willing to follow the specific instruction of God, both what to do and what not to do. So we want to begin to explore, and I just want to briefly reiterate just a brief version of a story that I had told about the Great China Wall. The Great China Wall was built so many years ago to keep the tribes of the north out of China. So they built the Great China Wall, one of the great, seven wonders of the world, just an amazing feat. And they built it high and wide so nobody could scale it and nobody could break through it. But in the first 100 years of his existence, China was invaded 3 times. Not once did they scale the wall. Not once did they break through it. They simply walked through the gate. They bribed the gatekeeper. So I would submit that the gatekeeper may have had an integrity issue. He may have had an ethics problem. And given the mission of the Great China Wall, which was to keep the enemy out, he probably had definite instructions from his superiors, don't let the enemy through the gate. So he had an obedience issue. And so I want to talk about the importance of obedience. What is it? Why is it important? What is the value of obeying God? What are the potential consequences and how the Bible talks about what happens when we don't obey God? So would you pray with me quick as we begin to open our hearts to let God speak to us about this important topic. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for you've called us to be obedient. You've called us to your word. You've called us to listen to your voice and to do what you've instructed us to do. And I pray now you would open up every heart and mind of my brothers and sisters here in the sanctuary, those that are online. We ask for your favor and your understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Would you turn with me to the book of Genesis, the 2nd chapter? There's obviously a well-known verse about obedience, but it really gets at the heart of where this all began. What was the problem? And as you're turning there, I would just like to relate to you a quick story, my own experience. When I began to, as a young Christian, began to see what this obedience was about and why we have such a problem disobeying. What was the real issue? I was a young man. I was married. We had a little girl, and I had not walked with God growing up, but I knew what it was like not to have God in my life. And then I became a Christian and I knew what it was like to have God in my life. And so I had never really thought much about the absence of God or what happens when I'm disobeying. So we had our little girl, this bundle of joy, this wonderful presence in our lives. And she began to grow up. She would coo, she would bubble, she would laugh, she would get in your lap and whisper in you. And it was just this wonderful, wonderful upbringing of this new little girl in our life. And then came the coffee table. The coffee table was, we had heard that if when you're raising a child, if you just give them an area and say, this is yours. You can have anything on this table. You can do anything you want. Just don't go elsewhere, because on other tables there are lamps. There are maybe knickknacks that if you drop them, they break. But on this coffee table, you can have everything you want. So she would come up to the table. She had just learned to walk, so she'd pull herself up and we'd say, this is yours, not that. And she literally would look right at us and go. And I'm going, what is that? What is that? Sweetheart, you can have this, all of your toys, everything. Destroy it if you want. It's yours. I want this. And she'd pull stuff, and you begin to see, I say, God, is that our nature? Is that what I struggle with? If I'm hearing the Lord say, Jerry, I want you to do something, am I going to go and just go, this, I want this? So if you look at Genesis, the second chapter, this is literally the story of God's real conversation with man. In Genesis, the second chapter, verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Freely eat, as much as you want, as often as you want. It's yours, have at it. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. That word surely die there just simply means you will cease to exist in the state of which you know it. So the relationship that we have will come to an end if you eat of this tree. But have all of the other. By all means, be generous, be as often as you want, as often as you can. Man had dominion over everything. He could name the animals. He was created to tend the garden and have this perfect fellowship with God. So in God's first conversation with man, he begins to say, this is what you can do, and this is what you can do. So in the conversation, it really began to bring to Adam for the first time, because he had never known death. Remember, he had this perfect relationship with God. So what was introduced to Adam was the concept of death. The concept is that you could cease to exist if you don't do what I say. So what was Adam thinking when he heard, you can't have this? You can have everything else, but you cannot have this. What was I thinking? God, what was going through Adam's mind? And I couldn't help but think about the story of my daughter. When I say, you cannot have this. And it was automatic. Automatic went right to what she wasn't supposed to have. And how often do I think back of the things that and the times that I've done that? Because of the nature that we all inherit, because we are descendants from Adam, because of this disobedience and what happened subsequently, created in our nature the willingness to do wrong. It wasn't so much about God was talking to him about freedom. He began to introduce the concept of death. And he was talking about that we will no longer have this kind of relationship. And then what he really began to speak into Adam's heart as a result of this was, are you going to believe what I say? It was really the first encounter of the concept of faith. Are you going to believe and follow what I instruct you to do? So this was all new to Adam because he had had everything freely given to him. And all of a sudden introduces this concept. And God introduced the very first governing principle of how he wants to govern man in his relationship to man, which is simply follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Will you follow me? This is how I want you to follow me. The rest of the Bible, after you get through Genesis, the second chapter, and Genesis, the third chapter, which we're going to look at quickly, which was the fall of man, the rest of the Bible is simply talking about how God's plan unfolded to restore man, to bring about incidences of disobedience and rebellion, to bring about obedience, what it means to be obedient, the blessings of obedience, the concept of faith, that if you'll follow God, the things that God has planned will become yours. If you don't, then the opposite happens. And so the whole Bible takes us through a lot of these things to where his ultimate goal was to restore us to himself through his son, Jesus Christ. Whereas where God told Adam, if you don't do what I say, you will cease to exist, means you will surely die. And Christ came and said, I have come that you might have life and that abundantly. What a contrast. A contrast that the Bible gives us about if you do it this way, this is what you'll have, as opposed to what Christ did for us, you will have this on the other side. So the picture is very black and white, but we choose to make it gray. We choose to do a little bit of what God said and a little bit of what we say, a little bit of what God has told me to do and a little bit of what I want to do. It's part of our nature. The teaching is just the importance of what Pastor Carter has been encouraging us over the last several months from this pulpit. None more poignant to me personally than last week in his message that where he was talking about it, the day when many walked away from Jesus. He said the true bread is to live for him and obey him. That's what really cemented in my own heart that as I was talking to my wife on the way home, I said, God's just completely changed where I needed to go in this teaching. When I heard the teaching or the preaching that Pastor Carter gave last Sunday, he said the true bread is to live for him and obey him. Jesus said in John the 15th chapter, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. My command is this, that you love one another. By this will all men know that you're my disciples. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I say. Jesus showed true and pure obedience about going to the cross and willing to be given for others. Willing to be given for others. So I begin to see in a whole different way about when I'm obeying God. If I love Christ, will I obey what he says? And if I truly do that, the natural extension is that I want to be given for the life of others. So it was so exciting to be part of the graduation yesterday when you see the theme that Pastor Teresa has developed for the Summit School, which is living for the benefit of others. Living for the benefit of others. It becomes a natural extension. And so I begin to see obedience in a whole different light, not of God being some big ogre that's going to play whack-a-mole if I mess up. God wants to bless obedience. He wants to bring something about in my life and our lives just by simply saying, I want to follow God. We're going to make mistakes. But as I said a while ago, integrity is being willing to do what's right. Obedience is being willing to follow the exact explicit instruction of God. And what we've been hearing, especially from Pastor Carter, is that the days that we're living in and the days that we're about to come into, we need to be in a position to where we're willing to hear explicitly what God says. Explicitly what God says. We need divine direction. We need to have the divine direction of God. So when Jesus demonstrated what obedience was about, and we're going to explore that quickly, is that what is obedience? What exactly is obedience? To put it in layman's terms, it simply is compliance with an order or submission to another's authority. Will you comply with a specific instruction from God? God had showed no ambiguity when he spoke to Adam in the garden. You can have anything over here, you just cannot touch this particular tree. He was very explicit and he talked about the consequences. But it was a discussion again on freedom and obedience. And so when we begin to look at obedience, I say, why is it so hard? Go over one chapter and look at Genesis, the third chapter. Why is it so hard? Why is obedience so hard? And I just want to explore with you briefly about what did the serpent do? What did the devil do to cause Adam, and or in this case Eve, to be disobedient to God? It's an amazing discourse. Chapter 3, verse 4, it says, then the serpent said to the woman, you will surely not die. So right before this, he had said that, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the trees, but of this one we don't eat, and we can't even touch it. So he gets down to the point that he says, you will surely not die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So the first step where the enemy can try to trap us in disobedience is he'll take an explicit instruction from God, and he'll contradict it. Did God say? Well, he didn't really say that. In fact, he really meant this, and he not only will contradict God, but he'll begin to slander God. He begins to talk. What he's saying here is that God has a different motive for you. Don't you know that when you do this, you'll be like God? God has hidden from you what his true heart is. That's what the nature began to come into us. It wasn't so much that the tree was good for food or was pleasant to the sight. Back in Genesis 2, God talked about every tree was good for sight and it was good for food. It was beautiful to look at. The issue was, will you want to do this out of disobedience to what God said? Are you willing to listen to a contradiction to an exact instruction? So all week, I would tell you in my prayer closet, in my own devotions, I was saying, God, with what we're hearing from this pulpit, the days that are coming? Am I willing to follow exact instructions as I get from the authority, from who you put in place over this church? Am I willing to follow instructions over my from my leadership? And I'm willing to follow it in my heart in my private prayer closet? Am I willing to do that? And I would tell you, it's been an amazing discourse over the last couple of weeks as I've been looking at this, and particularly since last week when I heard that. Because at some point, some people decide not to walk with God. They chose not to walk with God. And so I say, why was it so hard? Why was it so difficult that when I get an instruction from God, the contradiction comes, the slander of God comes, and then the ability to blame somebody else? That's the pattern. So the enemy kind of sets you up. When God comes to give you an instruction, he'll contradict him, he'll slander him, then he'll cause you to blame others. If you go back and read it at some point, what was Adam's first comment when God said, "Who told you you were naked?" "Well, she gave me to eat." And he looks at Eve and said, "What did you do?" He said, "Well, the serpent gave me to eat and I ate." So it's this, what's built into us is all of a sudden that I'm willing to blame somebody else. I'll throw somebody under the bus in a heartbeat. It's a part of our nature. That's why Jesus said, you must be born again. If we keep the nature that we're born with, we will continue to have the struggles that we have as human beings. We have to be born again. Something new has to be created in us. We can't follow with integrity. We can't be ethical. We can't be obedient unless we have a new nature. And thank God for what Jesus did. Thank God for what Jesus did. Thank God for what Jesus did. Praise the Lord. Obedience is one aspect of life where we have a choice. It's not something that we have no freedom in. It is truly one aspect that you can choose. In fact, you have to choose. You will choose which way. Joshua talked to the people of Israel in the 24th chapter. He said, "Choose you this day who you will serve." Choose. Make the choice. Prior to that, in Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, Moses was laying out for them the issues of, if you follow God, here are the blessings that God will give you. If you don't follow God, here is what will happen on the other side. He was very explicit about laying out to the children of Israel obedience and disobedience. Then you get to Isaiah, where you see God's heart. If you'll turn there in the book of Isaiah, one of the prophets, Isaiah 1:18, the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 18. You see God's heart. He says, "Come and let us reason together." One translation says, "Let's settle the issue once and for all." Let's settle the issue. "Come and let us reason, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be as white as snow. They are red like crimson, they will be as wool. If you are willing and obedient," you read that? "If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." The sword to me is like the word of God. I will be led in obedience, or it will push me away from God by the very word of God. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. His word is true. So our choice is, do we believe that this is true? Adam was presented the concept of obedience and the concept of faith. I told you don't eat of that. Are you going to believe me? Are you going to follow? Are you going to trust that what I tell you is right? I don't know how many times I can tell you when I'm hearing something in my heart or God is trying to deal with something, not only is the first thing where I'm open to listen to any form of contradiction, any form of the way that they would slander somebody, maybe it's slandering authority, but then I'm trying to say, well, it's somebody else's fault. It's this nature that we're taking ownership of our problem. Ownership of the issue when God is saying, "I want to set you free, Jerry. I want to set you free of something in your life," whatever God may be speaking to you. And so he's saying that we have an opportunity to choose. And in fact, we must choose. If there's anything you take away with you today, is that you have to be able to choose. How you choose will either strengthen you or weaken you. If you choose right, you'll get everything that Moses was talking about in Deuteronomy 30. If you choose wrong, then you get the opposite side. So think about for a minute the recount of Saul. King Saul was the first king of Israel. Saul chose not to obey an explicit instruction. And through not obeying that, it weakened him. And what ultimately happened is he lost the kingdom. He lost his kingship. He lost his place of authority. He lost his place of moral authority to be able to stand under the instruction of God simply because he did not obey God. And then if you look in the very next king, King David, who also was disobedient, he did what God told him not to do, but he repented when he was confronted with it. It became strength to him. Repentance is the first step to the supernatural. Repentance is the first thing that happens, and then once you repent, then God begins to open up the impossible for you. God begins to open up. If you repent and are willing to be obedient, the supernatural becomes real. The miraculous becomes real. He'll take you to places you could never go. He'll make you into somebody you could never become. He'll give you thoughts that you would never have on your own. He'll give you motives that you could never have. He'll give you kindness and generosity toward other people that you've never had before. He'll take away the selfishness and give you this generous spirit. He'll give you the willingness to live on behalf of others because that's the nature of Christ that is now in you. That's what God is willing to do for us. Praise God. I love that. So if we choose God, we get strength. If we don't choose, we become weak. So again, God is drawing the contrast with us about are you willing to be weak or you want to be strong? I remember years ago, I was God had really been speaking in my heart to go on a mission trip. And I kept going, I don't want to go. You'll catch a disease. You have to go to the bathroom in outhouses. I mean, pictures, they come home with rubber gloves and gas masks and all this stuff just to go to the restroom in the hills of Guatemala. It was not fun to me. It didn't look attractive to me. But God was speaking in my heart, I want you to go. And I kept refusing to go. And I would tell you, it began to weaken me and weaken me because the voice was still speaking. This is what I want you to do. I want you to do this. So I finally wind up agreeing to go to the war in Kosovo broke out. And I wind up going to Macedonia. My wife was the team leader. And so it was a perfect opportunity. I was being set up perfectly. I was being set up because when we got to Macedonia, the instruction now was go into Kosovo. And so the enemy's right there going, God didn't tell you to go to Kosovo. God told you to go to Macedonia. I'd been fighting going anywhere. And all of a sudden I'm in Macedonia and next door in Kosovo is a war zone. I mean, they literally had just stopped the bombing in Kosovo. And the instruction was to go in. So the contradiction came. God didn't tell you to go to Kosovo. He said, go to Macedonia. And then he began to put this slander in my heart. Well, if you do that, God's just taking you in there to kill you. And it's your wife's fault. So there's the pattern. He didn't say go to Kosovo. He said go to Macedonia. Because if you did that, he's just there to kill you anyway. And it's her fault. She's the one who talked me into going. So I was perfectly set up for this. But I wind up going into Kosovo, and it was a life-changing event for me because that's when God began to really ask me in my heart, will you be obedient? Will you do what I've asked you to do? I'll take the fear away. You won't die. If you do, you come into heaven, so you win either way. But I'll take this out. I'll take the selfishness out. I'll take the greed out. I'll take this desire to please yourself. Will you do that? Do you want this? And I was saying, oh God, I will. In the midst of helicopters flying everywhere and you could still hear guns rattling, you could hear ordnance going off from children stepping on booby traps. It was amazing. But in my heart, my thought was, he did bring me here to die. He brought me here to die. I'm in Kosovo. Nobody will know I'm here. My wife is in Macedonia. Now, it was her fault to bring me in the first place. Did she go to Kosovo? No. Oh, Jesus. So I'm laying there. Oh, God. My wife is in Macedonia. I think my daughter was on a trip to Guatemala. My kids were in the U.S. I'm going, I could die. Nobody would know. But yet it was God that used that to get a hold of my heart and say, will you go? Will you go? I said, Lord, if you'll help me, I want to do this. I want to be obedient. If you'll give me the strength. So making the right choice will strengthen you. Making the wrong choice will weaken you. Will weaken you to the point to where you can't make that decision. You'll paralyze. You'll get paralyzed under the analysis of it. You know, we call it analysis paralysis. And it'll just weaken your ability to resolve. It'll weaken your courage. It'll weaken your ability to say, "As God, if you tell me to go, then it's all up to you." And that was a defining moment for me personally. But it was a huge lesson regarding obedience. So obedience to Christ results in the favor of God. The absolute, he becomes the bread from heaven. And if you haven't listened to it, I encourage you to listen to Pastor Carter's message last week again and again and again. It will give you a whole different perspective on bread and who Christ is and what Jesus did for us. It was a changing moment for me personally. So Jesus is saying, if you'll choose right, I'll strengthen you and I'll give you things that you could never do. If you choose the other way, then there's consequences for that. He still loves me, but I rob myself of the ability to walk with God in such a miraculous way. And so do you. Some of you are in here today and you're struggling with something that God just wants to say, take the next step. I'll open doors that you could never open. I'll do something in you that you could never imagine was possible. Even if it's walking next door, even if it's walking across the hall and knocking on a door, even if it's saying, as Pastor Carter said this morning, God bless you. God bless you. About the story of the man in Ireland. God bless you. God loves you. It can be as simple as that. I want to close with this. If you turn to the Philippians, the second chapter, it's one of the epistles that Paul wrote. And I want to highlight again about what the purpose of obedience. Philippians, the second chapter, and then we're gonna close. The epistle of Philippians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Praise God. Guys eat potato chips. That's how I learned that. I could never get straight the epistles. My wife taught me that. The one who took me to Macedonia. Yes, there is bread in Bethlehem. Praise God. Hallelujah. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. I want you to think about that in terms of the first act of disobedience. Man wanted to be like God. Wasn't so much for the beauty of the tree or the fact that you could eat from it, as man wanted to be like God. Jesus did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as a man, humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death of a cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Because of what Jesus did, taking away the disobedience, he took sin from us, our willingness to follow the contradiction and the slander, to be taken in of the slander, our willingness to do that, he took that to the cross by obedience. The very act that took us into sin was our disobedience. Jesus took just the opposite, and because of who he is and what he had planned for us, he was obedient to the point of death on a cross. He suffered disobedience for our sake. It's all about Christ. So God's plan, even after the fall of man, was to bring us back to himself and bring us into full reconciliation through who Jesus Christ is. And so the final slide that you may see, it says, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, that's Adam, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift of God, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Justification, just as if I'd never sinned. Just as if I'd never sinned. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous through what Jesus Christ did. That's Romans, the 5th chapter, 18 and 19. I read out of New King James. So the contrast is you can cease to exist and still have the adversity, the destructive pattern, the turmoil, the depression, the heartache. That's what comes through basic disobedience. Or we can have life abundantly that Christ offered, the blessing that comes with that, the peace that comes with that, life abundant. So it's just the opposite, cease to exist or life abundant. So that becomes the choice. Will we choose life? So I compel you today, this day, choose whom you will serve. I know many of you here are Christians. What I would like to offer is that there may be some choices, whether it's on your job, it could be relationships. There may be something occurring where you're caught up. Maybe the devil is lying to you. Maybe somebody else is lying to you. You may be part of a wrestling match that's not of your making. It's not of your choosing, but now you're caught in the middle of it and you just need God to help you, to set you free. I know that it's possible. I know that it's possible. If God can do it in my life, he can do it for you. I know that. I know the fear. I know the ability for the devil to come in and contradict. Would you stand, please? As our worship band comes, I'd just like you to meditate on just a few things. As they come, open your heart. Just simply open your heart and say, God, I want to choose this day. I want to choose right this day. I want to choose God. I want to choose obedience. I choose in my heart to obey. You may be struggling with something. It don't matter what it is. Simply in your heart is willingness to obey. Obedience is willingness to follow the instruction of God. If you in your heart just simply open up and say, I want to follow the exact instruction from God, God will take care of the rest. He promised that he would. Amen? He promises he would. So as the worship team plays, I just want you to think for a moment, God, what is it? What is it that you can set me free from? What is it where I can cross over that line and say, I choose obedience? What is it? Is there anything that's holding you back? Is it a controversy? Is it a contradiction? Is somebody trying to slander God to you? Will you choose life? Choose life. That's the teaching today. Choose life. And if you choose life, you'll be willing to live on behalf of others. God wants to touch you first. Praise God. I invite you to come. If you want to come, we're going to pray for you. We'll say a quick prayer. God will do something in your life today. You will go out different than how you came in. When the Holy Spirit touches, just opening your heart up to God begins the supernatural. Think about it and choose this day. If you want to come and pray for you, come quickly. We're going to pray in just a few minutes. Thank God. This is a note I had laminated that I keep in my Bible and my notebook since I went to Kosovo. If I hadn't have gone, maybe I wouldn't have met this young man. He was a Muslim. I just want to read this to you. Dear Jerry, the Lord came to your heart and told you to come to Kosovo to meet with me, Beka, and to meet with my family. I thank you and your group that you led me to be born again. I now know the Jesus. I thank you all. Love your brother in Christ, Bakum Kapuska. If I'd have stayed stuck on the picture of an outhouse in Guatemala, I never would have gone. If I'd have stayed in Macedonia, I never would have gone. God did something miraculous. And God is going to speak to your heart right now. I believe that with all my heart. There will be some of you that God wants to send out. There will be some of you that God wants to do something unique to today. But God is going to be God in your life. Just open your heart and the Lord will do it right now, supernaturally and miraculously. We just pray. Just pray. Just say, God, surrender to God. To say, Lord Jesus, I want to be free. I want to follow you. I want to know what's right and wrong. I want to be full of integrity to walk with you and a willingness in my heart. God, do the miraculous in me now. Do this in me, Lord Jesus. I open my heart right now. Show me what it is. Show me. Give me the courage and the boldness to choose right today. To walk out of here different than when I walked in. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, the matchless name of Jesus, the name above every name. Hallelujah. Father God, in your name, in your precious name, thank you, Lord, for every heart that's here, every heart that's online, even those who didn't come down to the front. You see our hearts. And God, you're willing to do something so different and so unique right now in the hearts of my brothers and sisters. And we give you thanks in Jesus' mighty name.
Now, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the beauty of obedience, Lord. There's just something beautiful about obedience. It's hard, yes, but you come to us, and we begin to see the supernatural then. And God, you make our lives a living testimony of who you are. Father, we thank you for it. Bless my brothers and sisters at this altar today, oh God, and give us the courage to always say yes to you. Father, we thank you that when we do that, fruit is born into our lives and into your kingdom. We bless you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.